Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, speaking to you live from my studio here in Washington, D.C. My name is Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Bilal, and greetings to our audience. How are you today, my brother?
Well, everything's very good. Wa alaikum salam. Welcome to another edition of our show that we've been putting on now. This is going on our 10th year. And continue our conversation that is doing businesses. Continue the conversation of doing businesses with black banks and the importance that it is to become vested with our black banks. And we will continue our conversation on that subject tonight. Again, as you know, in order to have cash flow, well, cash flow is what a capitalist society is all about. It's all about it's all about the value of your monies, and that's what it's all about. It's all about the value of money. Capitalist society. And and so the power of your money is the power of your dollar. In this case, American dollars. It's what you are able to survive, whether it's personally or community. It's the power of your dollars. And throughout the years, African Americans have bought in a lot of dollars here in the United States. They bought us here as slaves to bring in wealth for white peoples. And for many years, we was forced to do that. This is Black History Month, so anything we can talk about, anything we can learn as far as Black History, this is a good time to speak on whatever the subjects that you, especially an African-American, may know on your history. So again, welcome to Black History Month, and getting back to the value of your dollars, that's what, again, we was bought here for, and we have done I hate to say a tremendous job being on the slave end of it, but if I was a white person, I would say, yes, indeed, we've done a tremendous job because we have made white America the richest peoples in the entire world. And that's because of the huge amount of monies that African Americans have been able to bring into the economy of this country. But as far as cash flow, if African Americans could go back to their cash flow, because we had the cash flow, That's why we title ourselves as Black Belt Wall Street, because during the time of your Black Belt Wall Street, you're talking about success for businesses all the way from Texas throughout the entire South to include New York and as far west as Missouri to include the Ohios and the Michigans. And many parts of Missouri is the extension of the Black Belt's growth during the time of its of the segregated periods. And this was the time of the famously known Black Belt Wall Street that operated out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was a part of the Black Belt Business District. And so during the time of the Black Belt Business Districts, we had hundreds of our own banks. Yeah. These banks, African Americans, is where we deposited our monies during the time of segregation. We deposited our monies into our own banks that was incorporated in our own communities. And because we had our own banks and was able to deposit monies into our own banks and our own Black communities, this created assets for the Black communities, because again, I put my monies into the Black bank. The Black bank, in returns, in order for them to make monies, they need to be able to loan me monies. And I say me as a community, they need to be able to loan the community, which is making deposits into their banks. They need to make that community's loans so that community's assets can grow, and at the same time, the bank's assets can grow. So putting monies into your Black banks creates growth, economical growth in your communities because of the cash flow. The banks are receiving deposits and the money's flowing back out into the communities that creates value. But what's going on right now with the Black dollar is that we put monies into the banks, but because we don't have anything to do with the ownership of the banks, nor do we have anything to do with being on the board of directors of these banks. In other words, when we put our monies into these white banks, we don't have no more say once we make a deposit of our monies. It's just in their banks, and they do as they please. And, of course, they're going to have that cash flow, which means they're going to make loans to the communities, but the communities they're making loans to are only to white folks. You're not going to see any growth going on in the Black communities because loans are not made back into the Black communities, although the deposits came from that Black communities. So the Black communities is taking a great big loss. I even go as far as saying we're being cheated because we're putting monies in, but the monies have no growth to from our deposits, but it has huge growth from white depositors and the white communities, because that's where the cash flow. The car dealerships, when they open up, the first thing they do is sell a car, and then they'll sell the notes of that loan to the bank. The bank buy the notes from the car dealership, buy the loan, and then he adds his charges, and so the car dealership and the bank has made money. And now how many car dealerships and how many cars were sold that day? And again, the car dealerships and the banks made monies, but the monies that was loaned was the entire community's monies, the black man's monies and the white man's monies. But the only advancement from the deposit stays into the white communities, and it gives growth to the white communities. You don't see any monies that is being made from a cash flow of the deposits coming back to the black communities. We have no banks. We have no banks that we have any control of. We're not on any boards of directors. We have no say whatsoever in the distribution of monies that goes into the banks, even though it's our monies. So that's why African Americans must have their own black banks, so you can be in control of your deposits. And your deposits, where are they are advancing their interest? It's your money, so the interest of those deposits should be going towards the black community's interest. But again, look at the black communities and see how much business is going on in our communities, and you can see it's none. Therefore, all of the monies that's being deposited into the banks is staying into the white communities, and it's advancing the white communities. So again, we need to have our own banks. And saying that to say that we have identified still quite a few black-owned banks throughout this country, and some of these banks go all the way back to the time of Black Belt Wall Street. They was members of Black Belt Wall Street, and they are still in operation, many of them. And we're going to identify these black banks that are still in operation. We're going to bring these banks to the forefront of our communities. And we're going to ask our communities to start making deposits back into these black banks that we have found that are in existence, and they've been in existence for quite some time. We've always also noticed that the ones that are in existence, most of us, first of all, don't even know anything about these banks. And the few that we do know about, the deposits are very low. Therefore, if these black banks don't have the assets to give you the services that your larger banks have, because we're not giving them our deposits as to where they can afford to give us the services of the Caucasian's banks. So take our monies from that Caucasian's bank and put it back into our banks, so we can have our monies can create the power, the economical power, and you will see economical growth being immediately stimulated. New businesses. Shopping centers, that's what these businesses are creating right now, but it's just creating them in the white communities. Put your monies back in the black communities. Now your board of directors and your business managers now can start having ideas on how we grow our own economy in our own black communities. So again, that's that cash flow. That's how you create that cash flow. So we're going to have a continuing conversation, but not only are we going to have a conversation, we're going to continuously identify these banks so you can keep reference of them, but we're going to have the owners of these banks. We're getting in touch with the owners of these banks that most of us don't even know exist. So not only are you going to know the name of the banks, but we're going to have these banks to send representatives to speak directly from the banks, and we'll be talking about opportunities for banking, doing banks with our own African-American bankers. So with that said, Brother Aziz, I will defer over to you for your comments.
Yes, thank you, Brother Bilal. I was going to say one of the things about doing business with black banks in that, you know, early on, I would think back when we were very young, infants coming up in that, African-Americans, they had to depend on one another. Even if the banks wasn't in the community, there was somebody in the community that people could go to and borrow money from for hard times, and they would pay them back. That was the thing back in the old days. A good name was better than gold. Your word was your bond. I remember one time I went to court, and another brother told me, you don't have to swear when you go to court. All you got to do was when the judge says, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, put your hand on the Bible. And he said, all you got to do is tell the judge, Your Honor, my word is my bond. And he said, the judge will say, okay, very good, very good. And that's exactly what the judge told me. My word is my bond. And that's what was one of the things that helped us be able to do business with one another, especially in the bigger section of finance where it was in the when the Black Wall Street came around and all that, you know, and what they did. And a lot of this here, we still, Black Wall Street was a big entity in the 30s and that, but right after the Civil War, when we had more politicians in these southern states than we have today, it was a whole different story. And these are some of the things that they don't really, we don't see a lot of during Black History Month, is like all the politicians. And there are pictures that exist of the politicians, the congressmen and the senators we had right after the Civil War, right as soon as we, and these guys were business, and they started businesses in that. And everywhere we started a business, there would come this mob, this white mob would come in and just literally kill and take over the businesses in that. And out of all that, our people still work and work to try to form businesses. And that's one of the reasons why we don't have as many African-American banks as we did before, because there's still a fight going on to stop African Americans from progressing, as well as the other Americans from progressing. And that is why when we have monies and banks that are owned and controlled by African Americans, we would tend to have more compassion there from that bank than you would from one of the Caucasian European banks. And what I mean by compassion is when you have a good credit rating in that, and you're not being rated with somebody else of a different color and that, and it's the same people. So it's understandable if you want to be right and you think you're right, you loan somebody the money, your own people the money. You don't be fair to everyone. You loan your people. And this is what has happened with us. Some would call it racism. Some would give it other names, but that's what people do. They take care of their own kind first. Although the United States isn't supposed to be that way, that is the way the system has been, and we all know that for a fact. So when you take care of your own help take care of you. And this is why we're seeking, as we have been doing for the last 2 or 3, 4 months, talking about African-American banks, the ones that exist now. They're not in every state in the United States, but there are some states that have even 4 or 5 African-American banks in that state. And these states that do have them, it's a grand opportunity for you to put your money or deposit your money in these banks and watch them grow overnight. And when they grow overnight, the loans you needed to improve your home, your auto loans, your educational loans to send your children to school, all of these things become available to you because if you do one little thing, put your deposits in these banks, these African-American banks. One of the things we know for sure is that a large number of our people, and I don't know the percentage right off. I don't have it in front of me, but I did research it. But it's a large number of our people that use these big banks like Bank of America, Truist, other big banks, Wells Fargo. And basically all we have with them is a checking account, you know, an ATM. You'd be able to use the ATM and that. We don't have any money deposited in their bank, nor are we able to get loans from them at a decent credit percentage. Because based on your credit rating that you get, when your loan percentage could be different than mine. Mine could be at 7% and yours could be at 14%. And they will tell you that's based on your credit rating. But now someone else, a Caucasian with the same type of rating and all that, you and him go to a Caucasian bank and that he's going to get that loan over you. And they're going to tell you, you got to get your financial paperwork, your debts together and all that before they can loan you any money. So you take that on the, you take that on the chin, but you still are using them for your checking account, which banks make money off your checking account. If it's no more than the fee that they charge every month to let that money flow through them, but it's more than that that they make because you don't take your, nobody burns the check account out to where it's zero and you're waiting to get paid the next day. I'm not saying no one, but that's not normal. Most people don't do that. So these are the reasons, many reasons why we should seek out and try to find an African-American bank to deal with because we're talking about the future of your children and they'll have something to look forward to. We're talking about having a better neighborhood. You have when you have prosperity in the neighborhood and that, the crime level goes down real low. Real low. We don't have a lot of crime. And people tend to be more neighborly. You have a better spirit. That's why I live in a neighborhood that we're in. There's not a lot of blacks in this neighborhood whatsoever. It's primarily Caucasian. All the Caucasians are walking around happy. They wave, speak to you, you know, and they're happy. Because everything's going good for them. And, you know, and they're able to help and get the financing that they need. And what I wanted to say was one of the Caucasians in my neighborhood, a couple houses away from me, is a banker. Well, a Caucasian that lived next to me, they ran into a big problem with their home, and they were going to get put out. The guy that across the street that was a banker was a banker. That's why I said was. He retired. But he still had connections with the banks. He went out and was able to cut a deal for those people that was about to lose their house, where they were able to get out of there and still walked out with some a little bit of finance, as well as a good credit rating. Now, this, I'm telling you the God's truth. This is what was told to me by the individual guy that was the banker. So when you see these things happening that and people doing that for other people, this is the type of stuff we look for in our community, whether you got the connection with the bank or not, but to be able to know where you can go and get that kind of help. And I'm going to say, based on just what I just said, that the guy got that money because he was a Caucasian. He got out of that whole situation that was detrimental to him and his family at that time. Now, when we get African-American banks that we can go to, or credit unions, both of them were financial institutions that we can go to and get financial help as well as we would like to, then that's something else that we need to really pay attention to. And one of the other things I wanted to say was that one of the things that being a big, it's a big deal now throughout the country, and that is teaching financial literacy. Churches are doing it, other organizations are doing it, and this is one of the things that the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association offer. We offer financial literacy to our listeners when we have our accountant come on, Ms. Gina Baker. She will give that kind of information out to the community. But I want to say today that there are financial, there are grants that we can get to continue this programming to teach you financial literacy, because the government, that is one thing they want American citizens to become aware of, because there are so many people that are in debt and filing bankruptcy today because they didn't know how to handle their financial situation. So these are, this is one of the things that New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association that we offer in our programming to help others. And, of course, African-American banks, as we heard from one of our directors, Sister Aisha Abdul-Ali, that back in the day, African-American bank in North Carolina was a Farmers Bank, I believe was the name of it, that helped her out. She said, and more than a normal help you out, wherein the individual gentleman at the bank was able to walk her through in conducting some business to help her move on to further be able to get other contracts, because he not only told the sister how to get the contract, but said when you get it, you can come back and we'll help finance it for you. And that right there was a good example of what it is when you're putting your money in an African-American bank. And when you're putting it in there, you seek services from them, and if they're not giving them, inquire about it, because it's part of what you're doing now. And I know we're more prone to do that than go to these Caucasian banks and talk to them the same way. Normally, African Americans, after you turn down, hold on, you're not going to talk to them in a certain way, a negative way. But we, sometimes we have the tendency to do that to one another. But if we start putting monies in African-American banks and not think negatively towards that, we'll see the same growth and 10 times more than that that we saw on Black Wall Street out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the good part about it is when we reach those heights in the future, the same thing won't happen to us that happened to Tulsa. It'll be just a little bit different. And that difference will be, instead of being destroyed, will grow great, big, huge. We will be a nation within a nation, a financial nation within a nation. And that's something that America would welcome, because the taxes that America would get paid off of that would be tremendous, because we do know how to generate wealth. We do know how to generate that. And one of the things we have to look at for sure is the contributions that we have made in the growth of America. I'm talking, Mike, right down from agriculture, engineering, as well as society and how to behave and act and treat one another. And for sure, when it comes to religion, especially the religion of Christianity, African Americans are the leaders in this country, and they are the ones that set the example as best that they know how to be Christ-like and treat people the way they say Christ is. So we make constant contributions after other contributions on type of other contributions to help America grow. But in that helping America grow, that's not helping us grow. We can help America grow just like we're doing now if we stop helping someone else that don't care about us and help someone that cares about us. And that's our African-American Banking Associations and finance credit unions and that take care of us, as well as other programs that may be around encouraging African-Americans to do for self. This is what the new Africa Black Belt Wall Street. Every week we come out, this is what we want to do for you. We want to help businesses network with other businesses, help people that want to go in business or have products that they want to promote or sell, come on our show, let our audience as well as us and our audience know what you got, what you're doing, and what help you're seeking. That's where we're on that. To help make this dream come true. It's not a dream. It's just a reality. We want to make the reality where our children can see it, where our children will not turn and look other places to take their talents and skills when they graduate from college. We want businesses set up in our communities where we can let our children on certain days of the year, as we do in the District of Columbia, in certain positions, right down to the mayor's position, you let a student come in and sit in that position and see how government is run, as well as other positions in the district government. And our youth would love to do that, especially those aspiring to go into whatever kind of business, even if it's a dry cleaning business, to be able to have that ability to go there and see how a dry cleaning business is run. So all of this can be about when we are able to have places where as a one African-American that want to go into business and you're trying to find a bank to help you go into business, start depositing your money in African-American Bank and talking to them and seeking advice from them, as well as helping them grow where they can do the same as the big banks do. It wouldn't take long for us to grow overnight. It's just a matter of coming up with that mentality to go forward and do it. We're talking about doing something that cannot and will not hurt you. What's hurting you is putting your money in the financial institutions that don't really care about you, that are not trying to help you grow, that are putting all types of obstacles up in front of you to make you get discouraged and want to turn away, but you don't leave them. You still use them. Well, you're not using them. They're still convenient for you to put your cash in and draw it out when you want to with your ATM card and that. And you think you're on to something. It's not. We're just helping someone out that don't want to help us. And that's not a wise or smart thing to do. So, you know, that's part of what we need to talk about during this Black History Month, about things that will help us grow in the business world. We hear folks come on our program and and say we want to do business in Africa, and we do. But to get the finance and things to go to Africa and help the brothers and sisters out there in a big way, we need to have our financial institutions here set up where we can do that kind of business with them, where we don't have to try to speak all these government grants and programs that's going to take you over years to get because of the obstacles that will be in front of you, and then you give up. So, you know, when we're able to help one another like that and go to financial institutions that African-Americans solely run, not being a part of something else in the background that's running that institution wherein they can't do the same when it comes to your consideration for a loan. And, you know, we do have the facts out there that about the discrimination in the lending institutions of blacks that's been taken by a number of different groups that have done this research. So that does exist. So when we know that, then if we want to do what's best for ourselves, then we would seek out African-American financial institutions that we could do business with and start doing some business with them. You don't have to put everything in at once, but start putting some of your funds in, doing some businesses, and seeing what type of services they offer, and see, you know, find out the information about these places. But as Brother Bilal said, that's one of our goals and programs that we will be doing in the future, and that is giving you more information about these African-American banks and how good they are for us and not hurting us. We've been too much listening to negativity about African-American banks and not putting no money there. And, of course, it's like if you own a gas station, you don't sell no gas, hey, you might go out of business just because nobody want to buy gas from you. And they don't know that you could have been offering some good services. They don't know that you'd be willing to help in any kind of way you can if you become a member of our bank. So these are the type of things we need to look for and be a part of. And a good time to do it is now. Go online, look for, you know, if you don't have a bank in your state, there's other banks where you can do online business, as you do most of the people do anyway. They're sitting at the desk with their computer, and the checks that they get go straight to the bank. So they do all their transactions there, and they use the ATM card for whatever. They pay all the bills through the bank. So when you're paying them all through the banks and all that, why can't all that stuff go to a black bank? And you pay all your bills from through that bank. That's how these big banks acquire so much money and deposits, because if they got money in there at a certain time, then that accounts for the amount of money that they're taking in, as well as the interest that they get on some covering a certain time period. But that's what I wanted to start out today talking about, Brother Bilal. And I talked more than I should have with the dental work that I had done, but I'm thankful for that, and I'll be glad to say some more, brother.
Okay, Brother Aziz, we appreciate your comments. I am going to go with our director out of the state of Delaware, Brother Rashid, your comments.
Yes, sir, Brother Blas. Assalamu alaikum to you and Brother Aziz, to the listening audience. As always, man, it's an honor and a pleasure to be a part of the radio broadcast with what you guys have been talking about for the last couple of weeks regarding, you know, black-owned banks. I just encourage the listening audience to look into the list of those banks across the country and find one that you know, are either near, if you have to be near it. But like Brother Aziz said, you know, there are several that you can do online regardless of where you live. And I would say let's, you know, get started, you know, take the first step, even if it's, you know, depositing $100 and setting up the account. It's you know, it's one thing for us to talk about these types of things, but at some point, you know, we have to take the first step and get moving. And something I wanted to just make sure I put out there today, I was and coming back home, getting back home and stopped at a traffic light, I immediately thought about this black inventor by the name of Garrett Morgan. Garrett Morgan is the gentleman that every time you look at a traffic light, that was invented by an African-American man by the name of Garrett Morgan, who was actually born in 1877 in, I want to say it was Paris, Kentucky. He actually lived to be about 86 years old and died in 1963 in Cleveland, Ohio. But he is most notably noted for being the inventor of the traffic light you and I stop at every day. Also, for the military guys, I know Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz, you guys are military. I was in the military as well. That same gentleman, Garrett Morgan, also invented the gas mask that that soldiers use.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that time it was referred to as a protective smoke hood, But today's gas mask was invented by that same black man, Garrett Morgan. So just a black history note in addition to what you guys are talking about right now. And I just really want to encourage everybody and the listening audience, us at New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, you know, let's start taking some steps to get these things up and running. With that, I'll yield it back to you guys.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Black Belt Wall Street. Our subject tonight is a continuation of the power of the black dollar and the importance of putting your monies into black financial institutions, especially the ones that we have existed across the country. There are not a lot of them, but there are a few, and it's better to start off with a few than to have nothing. And the participation that we've been giving our banks is almost like nothing. But then too, like I said, most of us do not even realize that there are national black banks even in existence. And we have found just about most of them that can be accounted for as far as being incorporated. And the ones that we have found, we're trying to bring to the front of our communities, because bringing it to the front of our communities is the stimulation that the financial stimulation that we should be seeing from making deposits into our own black banks. I heard several comments tonight, and some of them was, put $100 in the bank. Some of them was, we can finance a business, or we can finance this, or we can do that. Brothers and sisters, and I sort of hesitate and take my time because the figures are so big. When it comes to the monies, that we deposit into banks other than African American banks. You're talking about trillions of dollars. No black peoples on this earth can say they come into the possession of trillions of dollars. Not only black peoples, they're the so-called Caucasians or white peoples, if you want to call them. Their European countries do not come in contact with trillions of dollars. Go around the globe, the entire world, and very few countries can say they come in contact with trillions of dollars. Our churches alone, our religious institutions, and I say the church, but the mass jets, but the churches are the huge giants of our communities, have been for a long time. But the monies that our churches put into the banks, and this is on a weekly basis, is billions of dollars every week. Billions of dollars. So again, this is what I mean about sometimes you have to sort of visualize just how big you really are. And so if our churches are putting in this type of monies into these Caucasian banks, and we'll be putting it in this weekend. And Monday morning, we would have put in billions of dollars into these banks. Do you realize when you, the billions of dollars that you put into the bank, and like I said, when this money clears the Federal Reserve and come back to the communities, it doesn't come back to the black communities. It comes back to a zip code that the black community is a part of that community. But the monies is going to come back to the white communities and the banks that exist in that white communities. And so billions of dollars is going to come back in their banks every week. Every week, billions of dollars are going to come back into their banks for them to go out and loan monies to all of the businesses that exist in their communities, the banks, the retail stores, all the car dealerships, the real estate companies, everybody who's trying to do business from the time that the bank opened until the bank closed is doing transactions with the monies that has been deposited, that the banks have on deposits. Well, they have the white man's money and they have the black man's money. The only difference is the white man's money is working towards the favor of the white man, but so is the black man's money. That's also working in favor of the white man. Nothing is coming back to the communities, the black communities, from which the monies was deposited, because we don't have our institutions to say this is where, or we don't have our institutions to, first of all, deposit the monies into our own banks, period. Our banks should, so again, our banks, the few banks that we have left, deserve our deposits. And those deposits that we make is going to force the banks to create new banks. It's going to force the community to incorporate new banks. Are going to instantly grow because the money is being deposited back into the black communities from which the communities created the monies. So again, that's that huge picture that we're looking at every week, is that we are giving billions of dollars in deposits, and those billions of dollars is making trillions of dollars for the white communities. But we're not getting any of it because, again, the white community simply don't account for you of being in their banking systems. You should be there. Your money is there. You should be on the board of directors just like everybody. No, this is all done, and we're just being systematically robbed. And for some reason, I don't see us really mind this happening to us. I don't see no one receiving the information that I know we've been putting out there now for quite some time, but I don't see no demand saying that I need to, where are these banks? Who can I contact? I don't see no rush for that kind of information. But anyway, we're going to continue to bring about the identification of these banks. I'm speaking right now. We are going to continue to bring about the continuation of these banks. And we're going to give these bankers an opportunity to speak to the community. And we're going to, and then we're setting this up starting this week. It's just a matter of when do we bring on the bankers. I don't want to bring them on until I know I have a large attendance from our communities. If our communities is not giving us a large attendance, I'm not going to waste these bankers' times. But if our communities is as serious about the cash flow and keeping the cash flow of the dollars in our communities and grow our communities, because remember, white folks are not forcing you to give them your monies. You're doing it voluntarily. Every Sunday, we're going to put monies into the church, and the church is going to take that black monies and give it to the white banks. And the white banks are going to tell us, look, the preachers, the black preachers came and got the loaf, but the black preachers cannot steal the amount of monies that black folks put into into the churches. They can take a lot of it, but they ain't taking nothing but a small percentage of that huge deposits that goes into their banks, and that's going to be every week. It's going to be our charity monies, monies that is supposed to be taken care and growing our communities. No, it's going to grow their communities. So, again, this is what we are confronted with, and this is the picture that I would think we should take a look at and realize the seriousness of it. So, yes, now I am going to open the mics back up, and if there's comments, we welcome your comments.
Well, I was going to ask, this is Nadir in Delaware, Brother Bilal. What would you say, and I know you guys have been trying to educate our community for years, and, you know, hopefully now we're listening. What would you suggest would be the first steps you would ask people to implement to get this thing rolling so that, you know, as we discuss it, now we are actually in each state with each black-owned bank actually involved, actually increasing their finances, increasing the potential of these black-owned banks to actually provide services for the community. What would you suggest would be step one or the very next step so that we're not just talking about it but actually implementing what you're talking about?
If you really want to be extremely proactive about doing this, the first thing all of us do is, like I said, have accounts with these black banks. But our success, our very success starts when our churches and our religious organizations change their accounts to black banks. The day that that black church changes its account to black banks, that's where you built. That's where, like I said, this weekend, our churches will give away billions of dollars. That's going to happen this coming Friday until Monday. I'm sorry, from Friday to Sunday. All of our religious organizations, our monies will be sent in through the church from our communities, and all of our different religious organizations will send their monies in from our black communities. That monies will go to, will be picked up by armor cars or what have you, because the church receives so much monies. They have to have a bank transportation to move that monies. So that monies will be picked up from our churches, and it will go to the Federal Reserve. And once it leaves the Federal Reserve, it'll go to the Federal Clearance House. That Federal Clearance House is responsible for sending monies back to the communities from which the deposits came from. And like I said, they're sending it back to our communities, but our communities, the zip codes, it's white folks' zip codes. We don't have any black zip codes. Therefore, when it goes back to the white communities, it'll go back to their banks because we don't have any banks in our communities. So therefore, all of our monies goes from the depositors into the church, and the church deposited into the white banks, and the white banks take our monies from there, and they distribute it and make monies back by selling our monies to the white communities. And between selling our monies to the white communities, the monies that the white communities pay for our monies, and the monies that advances the white communities, and this is why you have the white communities growing at such a large rate of growth. But you look at the black communities, and there is no growth whatsoever because there was never any monies that was deposited from black communities' deposits that went into the bank. None of it went back to the black communities. It all advances the white community. So we're doing it. We are advancing. The white man ain't forcing us to do this. We're giving them our monies. So when you start talking about what will change our conditions, we will change our conditions. We're giving away our opportunities. We're giving. This is why our kids, and they're talking about now you want to bring in the National Guard to supervise our kids, because our kids is like wild animals. They're just criminals. No, our kids want opportunities like any other human beings, but we don't have any opportunities for our kids. Why? Because we give it all to white folks. They got all the opportunities in the world. So again, bring in opportunities, especially business, and that opportunities is going to cause many African Americans to become wealthy, and that wealth is going to create all kinds of opportunities. Because just think, if the black church start putting their monies into black banks, just think how many accountants you're going to need immediately just to keep an account of this money. Just think how many economists you're going to need. Just think how many marketing representatives you're going to meet. How many business organizations organizers you're going to meet. I mean economists, mathematicians. I mean it goes on and on and on. All of these professionals that we have in our colleges, all of our black kids with the degrees, now you would have to have you would have jobs in the communities because these jobs now are needed. But there, nothing is needed in the black communities. Everything is in the white communities because that's where all the monies is being distributed. We got to keep our own monies. So that's the where do we advance and when we start advancing? The day that we start keeping what belongs to us. Our mics are open. I am going to be turning it over to Sister Aisha here in a moment, but I will entertain any more questions if we have them. All right, don't look like we have any more questions. I won't be any more creative.
I just want to say something.
Go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
Yeah, what I wanted to say was referring to the question Brother Nadir asked in that what were the plans on changing that? I mean, attracting some people to start listening to what we got to say to the black, when the black bankers do come on. And one of the things is with letters is going to be designed, is being designed to be sent to the African-American churches to let them know when this programming is going to be on and seek out their communities to tune in to this. It's going to be a series that's going to exist that we're going to have. And we'll reach out to the churches and masjids as well as other organizations, business organizations that have a lot of people and send them this letter to let them know what we're going to do.
Brother Aziz, if you don't mind me interjecting there, let me ask you and of course all of us, but if we took and sent the letter to the churches, the preachers, and we told the preachers, we want you guys to start putting your monies into black banks so that we can, as a black community, don't you realize these preachers realize they've been cheating the black communities for years? The millions and millions of dollars that they can keep for themselves by keeping black folks uninformed when it comes to business activities in their communities, to keep them uninformed about how their monies is being spent and where it's being held. And I mean, and when it comes to transparency, do you think these preachers are trying to be transparent?
Well, this is the day of truth, Brother Belial, and if they don't want to be transparent and come out, we're going to let our audience know about it. We're going to let our audience know about who was unwilling to support the community. Yes.
Brother, please, I'm talking about right now, this letter you're talking about sending to the preachers. You think that we should say, now I'll tell you what, I think if we could send letters to the board of directors of the community, to the members of the churches,
I didn't use the word preacher at all. I said we were going to reach out to the churches.
No,
that's what I meant.
If you reach out to the churches.
And that's what you're saying. Well, when we reach out to the churches, that's when we move on to the board of directors. That's who control the church.
No, if we reach out to the church, you're going to be reaching out to the preachers. That's who's in control of the church, is the preacher. So, again, if you reach out to the church, and I sent a church blah, 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 a letter, it's going to the preacher. But if I had a way of getting information to the congregation, now I might be doing something, I think, a little bit proactive. But, again, I just don't believe that the preachers want to know anything about money's going anywhere but in their interests. And I think, again, and I've said it and I'll say it again, I think the preachers have done just about as much damage to the black communities as white supremacists have done. So so I didn't mean to, but that's just, I mean, I just don't see dealing with these preachers. I just don't. Brother Aziz, did you want to comment any further?
I don't have nothing else to say about it.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't want it to come to that because we have to,
That was my opinion. I mean, if yours is different, that's okay, brother. You know, I was just giving my opinion, and I gave it.
I'm giving
my opinion of what I thought we should do.
All right. Don't
have to do that. We can find better ways to do things, but that's all I had to say about that.
All right, well, again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments about our discussion this evening. And
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Aisha. I have a comment. I have a comment about the black bank. I think I live in a predominantly African-American community in North Carolina, and one of the historical communities, actually. And there is a black bank about 2 miles from this community. And having talked to some of my neighbors over the week, the long-term neighbors, I asked a question. Has the bank, Mechanics and Farmers Bank, ever sent you advertisement since you have been back in your parents' house? Because I'm talking about second generation living in the homes now, and some of them are third generation. And having talked to about 12 people on the block, I've asked that question, and not one has said yes. The bank has advertised to me. The bank has sent out a welcome to the community or anything to me. And I think if we look at this nationwide, we'll see that the banks themselves are more than likely not advertising to the community. Now, I get advertisement from the large, predominantly Caucasian bank, all practically all white bank, but I get nothing from the black bank. And the young people probably, the young professionals probably don't get anything either. I think that if we have these bank officials on the radio, we should ask them, what are they doing to reach out to the African-American community, and how can we best serve and join with them to help them in their marketing campaign to get the new depositors in to the bank. Other banks take on this responsibility, and they always have corporate companies to support them. Well, we are a large organization with a great track record. I would not think that we will have a problem partnering with them and giving them some endorsement if they want to start reaching out to the community. But I think that they're going to have to take an initiative to do this. And some of them throughout the country, maybe they are already doing it, but it's not happening, to my knowledge, in North Carolina. So what do you all see that a lot of this should be the responsibility of the banking system, the different banks, to market to the African-American community in partnership with organizations like Black Belt Wall Street?
Hey, Sister Aisha, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister.
No, that was my statement.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is Nadir in Delaware. I'm thinking, because of the lack of resources, I mean, you think about most of us are just learning about these banks. So if we're just learning about these banks and they don't have nearly any type of the deposits that the banks you mentioned that's probably reaching out to the people in your community, I would think the reason why they haven't done it or aren't able to do it is because of lack of resources due to lack of deposits from people. So I think it's going to probably have to be a two-tier thing from both sides that we understand their situation, because a lot of us are just learning about them for the first time. And maybe collectively, collectively us as an organization, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, people in all of our communities worldwide, we can make it a worldwide or nationwide initiative for us to get better acquainted with them and them to get better acquainted with us and to start the process. I think that's probably going to be the best way to, ignite the spark that it's going to take to really get it going, in my opinion.
So I'm not sure if I understand. Are you saying that we should continue to take the lead, or should they take the lead and we partner with them in a
naturally they're going to have to take the lead. I think the biggest thing is, again, Brother Aziz was mentioning, if a person owned a gas station and they have gas there, but all of us are going to everybody else to get gas, however that gas station, that gas station can get on the radio because of the funds we're giving them getting gas, and they can put radio advertisements out to make us aware of who they are and what they're doing, to where that black gas station that nobody's going to doesn't have the resources to take that initiative. So, I think, yes, those banks, all of these banks that Brother Aziz has been mentioning for the last couple of weeks, and like I said, I can't speak for anybody else other than me. I didn't know a lot about, especially that many black-owned banks. And I'm sure if I didn't know, most people don't know as well. But, no, I think the banks have to definitely take the initiative. But I think my point is, I want those banks to know that, at least for me, I'm not putting anybody else out there. I'm willing to do whatever I can with each one of them to initiate whatever it is they need to do to make the public aware. And let's start encouraging our people to start putting our money in those banks.
Okay. Well, I certainly think that an organization such as Black Belt Wall Street, we've sounded the alarm, and we're saying to the public to patronize the black bank. But we have to also say to the banks, you start reaching out to the communities, to the African-American communities, to the professional institutions. And I think that we can work in partnership with them. They certainly, since we are bringing this to the table to the attention of the public, they certainly need to work with an organization such as Black Belt Wall Street.
Yeah, and I totally agree.
And if they want the organization to give them some suggestions, we can do a canvas of the community, but they have to market to the community. And I don't see that taking place. And I don't agree that they don't have the resources. Marketing to the community is not an overwhelming task financially, especially when they have access to the names of all the churches, the names of the community groups, the different associations. Those things are easily accessible. And to market to them is not that difficult and not that costly. So, yes, I believe they have the resources to do it, but they are obviously not doing it. So I think we should ask them the question.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think one of the biggest things – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me say this. Like I said, during the time, and some of these banks go back to the time when Black Belt Wall Street was in full operation. And some of them don't go back that far. But when you have been rejected, remember, Black Belt Wall Street and its success, what stopped that success was black folks saying they'd rather integrate than to have the power of black success. They thought that integration would be better off. And when we integrated, we denied the black community. We left the black community. We didn't want nothing to do with the black community. And so, like I said, we give everything that we had towards integration. Our money, everything, towards integration. We didn't want nothing at all to do with the black communities. As a matter of fact, we didn't even want to be called black, some of us. So, again, when you have a few financial institutions that have been totally denied by its community, saying that we don't want you, we don't want to put no monies in your bank, don't want to have nothing to do with you, because we are going to integrate. We want Bank of America, Wells Fargo, you know, Chase Manhattan. That's what we want. We want to deal with the markets, you know, the index. That's the way we want. But you had all of those things in the black communities. You had your own insurance companies. I mean, the black communities, like I said, our cash was flowing. That cash flow was still flowing today. Would be worth probably over $1 trillion if it was still flowing today. So again, we give it away. We the ones who, like I said, we simply give it to. And the white man ain't made us come put no monies in his bank. He ain't made us do anything. We voluntarily did it ourselves. And now today, we've made that man the richest, that man or that society, the richest society in the world, and we've made ourselves the poorest societies, even though you got more monies than the fifth richest country in this country, in the world. And what do you have to show for it? What do you have to show for it? And why don't you have more to show for it? So when you start talking about...
Let's come up with a solution. Let's figure out a solution.
So when you start talking about these banks, why are they not being more marketable? I put myself on their side, and I said, the community don't want me. And like you said, they don't put their monies in my banks. And a few of them still do. And each one of these banks that we have out here that are still incorporated, some of them have more assets than others. Some of them have minimum assets, and some of them have way below minimum assets, but they're still incorporated. And so I am saying that to bring, and then, like you said, many of these banks, even though, like you said, the community, we abandoned those banks, but that abandonment may be something that we're realizing now was a mistake. And a mistake is something that you can always change and you can make for the betterment. So I am saying New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, and we're saying we want to bring back the Black Belt and the power and the dignity that they represented it. So in order to do that, we are trying to profess what would the Black Belt do for this, what would the Black Belt do for that. In this case, we've been talking now for years, but we've concluded that in order to get started with all the things we've been talking about for the last 10 years, we have to make a start that is very valuable. And what is the most valuable start that we could possibly make? We have to have our own cash flow. In order to have that cash flow, we must have our own financial institutions where we can put our monies into the financial institutions. And by putting our monies into financial institutions, we're the only ones that are controlling our cash flow. There's no one else. So that's where our growth starts from, is putting our monies into our own bank accounts. Accounts that we have control of, we have, and now with that control, we have a cash flow that is flowing from business activities that is being created from banking to the communities. So as far as our banks might need some real showing. Like we said, we're going to invite them to come on. We're going to hear from them. But the whole thing is that I think our banks might need that reassurance showing that, hey, we want you guys. We want your success because your success is our success. And so this might be something that haven't been conveyed to these banks from the communities. And now, Brother Aziz, I think you came up with a probability, and you were saying, what is that, the reassurance of something that they may need? Brother Aziz?
Maybe he stepped away for a minute.
I'm sorry, brother. I had put my phone on mute because I was coughing, and I didn't realize it was still on mute because the screen went dark on me. But,
right,
you know, I was just saying.
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
No. It's your turn.
No, I was just saying reassuring them was just that we were going to continue promoting them as we've done in the past. And I've listened to Sister Aisha and Brother Nadir give their comments in that. And I think it's just a fantastic idea, both what they're saying, to make those businesses accountable also to the community, first of all, because, as you said, they're not marketing, you know, because nobody's putting no money into them. Well, as Sister Aisha said, maybe they ain't letting nobody know who they are, where they are. What can they do for us? We know what we can do for them, so, you know, I just like what I've been hearing and that, and I'm with it. All of that, you know, if that's what we think is best, I'm with that, and that's where I am, Brother Bilal. I'm going with what sounds best to me. I had some good comments on that. I thought, but this is much better to me. You know, some minds are better than others when it comes to settling the decisions, and I truly agree that I agree with what Brother Nadir and Sister Aisha said. I'm with that, you know, and I don't want to take up no more time, but I think making those banks accountable too when they come on the programming, when all that's set up, is good, you know, too. But at the same time, we got to let them know what we've been doing for them all along, and as far as reaching out to the community, yeah, we got to assure them that there's a number of people on the program listening, so we're still at that point of how do we reach out to the community to let them know that we're going to have these bankers coming on. And you brought that up earlier. We don't want to waste those guys' time coming on either, that they don't have a number of people that's going to be listening that can go back out in the community and at least think about it and tell somebody what they heard. Because there's so many people that don't know African-American banks exist or have existed in the bank in the past other than the Black Wall Street in the 1920s and 30s. So, yeah, that's what I had to say, Brother Lyle. Thank you.
And Brother, I agree with everything that has been said as well. Because I think the black banks have a tremendous history that should be told, that need to be told, especially mm-hmm. to our young entrepreneurs. They don't know, as Brother Rashid said, they don't know this history. And many of them don't even know that there's such thing as black majority-owned banks in the U.S. and that there were many, many more during the turn of the century. So this will be a great history, and also it will be a wake-up call for our young people, because I think with this conversation of the black banks, it takes me back to the history of the Freedmen's Bureau that was established by Congress in 1865. And that bureau was established supposedly to help freed slaves former slaves, over 4 million former slaves, to develop economic independence and provide security for them. However, the Freedmen's Bureau enriched Caucasians who were the managers and the decision makers of the bank. And the money that went into the Freedmen's Bureau system was the money from the freed slaves. You know, they were doing day work, pickup work, a dollar here, 50 cents here, and they would put it into the Freedmen's Bureau. But it made a lot of Caucasians in this country very wealthy. And as a result, when it finally closed, there was nothing there for the African American. And still right today, there are hundreds of thousands of African Americans whose ancestors put money into the Bureau, and they never got a penny out of it. And it went to Caucasians who managed the bank, who supervised the bank, who was the head of this Bureau. So that history needs to be told. And once again, here we are as a people. We're doing the same thing to ourselves by not participating with the black bank that this Freedmen's Bureau did to us. So we're just repeating the same history, but we're not supporting what we already have before us. And I think it's because, as the brother said, our younger generation know nothing about them. And this will be a great opportunity for them to come on air and talk about what they are doing in the community and the opportunities that they are providing in the community and what they can provide. And I think young people will be receptive. But, of course, I also agree. We have got to get the young audience to listen and to tune in.
I agree.
So
those were my comments on this. The way we attract the young audience, and I've been speaking with a lot of young people, and my goal, especially here in Delaware and the people I know across the country, is to get young people involved. But one thing with young people, their attention span is very short. And it's, you know, like I said, we can discuss it one or two times, but young people, most young people are about movement. And if we talk about it and, okay, did you open up an account? Well, no, but we keep talking about it. That young generation for this to be something, in my opinion, to attract them. I mean, we can talk about a lot of other issues and always tie the banking back into it. But my idea to attract young people is to also have some topics that attract young people, things that are going on in the community, mentioning about, you know, lack of jobs, mentioning about training. You know, I know I was talking to some younger brothers who, you know, back in my day you had vocational schools at the high schools. You don't see that as often now, but you're starting to see them slowly come back into existence and teaching people trades, et cetera. But lack of fathers in the black neighborhood. We have to have a lot of different conversations to attract young people, and we can always tie the banking back in, encouraging them to do that. In my opinion, I think that's going to be the only way to attract the young group, because they're more of a visual group, you know, with people they see on YouTube. They can see broadcasts, not just hear them, et cetera. And I think we can evolve to that. But I think the first step is going to have to be I think all of this is going to be a re-education for us and the black banks. And I think, like you all are saying, before we invite them on here, I think we should all really make a concerted effort to increase the people who are listening to the show. And if there are a lot of people listening to the show, the biggest thing we have is there aren't but a few people who make comments. So if that's the case, a lot of people are shy. We just have to get more people that are willing to make coming so that there's more dialogue, and then when these banks come on, they feel more confident that, okay, you know, this is something that we can move toward, and this is, it's not a few people talking about something. So with that, I'll yield it back to you guys.
Brother Bilal, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he'll turn it over to you, Sister Aisha.
Oh, have you turned it over to me, Brother Bilal?
I guess, why not? I mean, because, again, I thought we was, I don't know. I'm sort of confused. I'm confused.
Is that about the question whether or not to have the black bankers to come on air or what?
I think that sort of started the confusion because I thought that first to achieve the information that we took us up for quite a while to achieve, and not only did we achieve the information, but we actually are in touch now with these African-American bankers. And they are incorporated. It ain't like they have to get incorporated. They are incorporated, even though we haven't been using their services. They stayed incorporated because they stayed being bankers. They know the importance of staying into their, to stay incorporated. They know the importance of it, even though they're too many depositors. They know, for whatever reason, the importance of staying incorporated and keeping their financial institution incorporated. They don't have to go worry about trying to get incorporated and trying to get started. They pay their taxes, and they keep their board of directors all intact as to where they are running a legit operation. We have been in touch Sister Swan did a creative letter of introduction. I haven't seen the letter, but I have all the confidence in the world that she would put together a very professional introduction letter. And so whatever letter she did put together, we got a major response from these banks. They, I'm sure, ain't got time to be wasting their time with something that they don't think is important. So evidently, we see the importance of, in them, at least I thought we did, and they see the importance in us, and which they respond, they're responding. And from the information that I've received, they're waiting on me to set a date as to where they can come on and we can hear from them. I don't know what they have to say, but we will be able to hear from them. They'll be able to hear our comments, and we can see where we can go forward after our meetings now. I deem that to have such important organizations as those bankers to come on, I would like to see a large audience each time those bankers present their presentations. Therefore, I deferred having them coming on for the next week or so, and that was because I realized that in order to stimulate audience, you have to do what all business folks do, and that is advertise and pay for it. I've never considered that I am going to get an audience from passing out something to young folks or whoever, but I know if I advertise, that advertisement is going to go out to a large audience and a large radius as far as distance. And when we did advertise, we was getting large audience. Our audience was at its capacity. But it costs monies to advertise. Therefore, I discontinued advertising because I am paying for this out of my pocket. So, but the importance of the banking, I said I would go back in my pocket again and I would advertise the importance of the black dollars, how important it is for us to put monies into black banks and to have those black bankers to actually come and be with us. But we're having a meeting tonight, and this is our directors. And our directors are telling me that some of us are saying that we should do this now, we should do that, and we should. And I am saying, wait a minute, I'm a little confused.
Let me say something to my brother Ralph. All we were doing was saying is, when they come on and talk, we were just going to ask them, what were they doing to advertise themselves to the community or something? Maybe we could help them in the process. That was all. The talk might have sounded forcible or negative, but that's what we were. That's what we were trying to convey, is that we want to know, are they advertising the community, and what can we do to help them advertise in the community? That's all.
Brother Ozzie,
that's all in a nutshell.
It's not all. We've also suggested that we shouldn't even bring on the bankers yet. We should do something else before we bring on the bankers. It's not just a matter of asking the bankers questions. It's a matter of some of us saying we should even bring on the bankers.
No, Brother Bilal, I think when you stated earlier,
I've never heard that.
No, when you stated you didn't want to bring them on there without the listening audience being bigger, that's what I was talking about in reference to us increasing.
No, the reason we said we didn't want to bring on the audience is because we needed some young folks, and the young folks ain't listening to us. And so we need to appeal to the young folks before we bring on the bankers. I know everything that's being said on this radio. And I know how much I put into trying to go forward with an idea. But now we got three or four different ideas floating on. And that's why I guess you hear me studying and becoming very confused. Because
I think you're misinterpreting it, Brother Bilal, because all of the ideas were based to further what you were talking about. In other words, you mentioned earlier that you didn't want to bring the banks on there until we had a listening audience. My thing was, if you want to get things buzzing, let's get the young community more listening to this radio station as well to further that very cause that you're talking about, so that when the banks come on, because you got a lot of young – you.
Let me say this. The same listeners that we had on the radio last week, because I have this, I keep up with the statistics. We got the same listening audience again this week. The same listening audience we had on the week before, we got the same listening audience on again this week. Our listening audience have not increased at all since I stopped the advertising. When I got away from paying monies to advertise, that's when our listening audience went down, and it hasn't gone up since. So I know why our listening audience have not gone up. It is because we haven't promoted ourselves in any fashion. And so that's why our listening audience have not gone up. So if it's young folks we need to bring on, bring them on. If it's this person, is that person, that organization, bring them on. But they're not here. Nothing has increased at all. So again, I say all the time, all of our listening audience, we have to tell more listeners about our program. I would love for everybody to go out and tell five others, say, hey, I heard this program, and maybe I can get you to come. I would love to get participation for all of our listeners, or everybody who's listening, and the few that's listening. I would love for their participation, and all of us can bring on 5 or 10 more, or a few more the next time we listen. But that's not happening. So, again, our listening audience are just not increasing. And but now that we have such an importance as these bankers, then I decided that I would spend monies, because that's how important and how valuable I think bringing these bankers on, because, again, without these bankers, we cannot have cash flow. And without cash flow, our communities cannot grow, because our monies is going to someone else, another community, not our own communities. So, again, those bankers offered us the advantages of cash flow, and especially if we can convince someone as big as our churches. But again, I guess it's the importance. And so that's why I have to say that I became a little confused.
I still think, Brother Ben, go ahead.
And I'm saying I look for whatever your comments are. You know, this is what we're here for, to comment. But I am confused, because, again, we're saying maybe we should not even bring on the bankers. And I am trying to say, my goodness, even to the point of where it could cost me money, I think that's the value of bringing on these bankers. I'm very confused.
Well, I think we should bring the bankers on without a doubt. And I think it's incumbent on each one of us as directors to invite young people, the people at the university, people in our community, to come on the radio show to hear these bankers. And now what I have started doing is when I go out and talk to people about different subjects in climate change, I take my cars with me and tell them to tune in. They are great conversations pertaining to our community. So tune in on Wednesday night. And, you know, some say, okay, well, I will. But the few who have said they will, I have their numbers. I'll call them back and ask them, are you tuning in? Don't forget to tune in. So I think that we can do something as well to market the radio show, and especially this series of bringing on the black bankers. So yeah. I'm willing to do it.
Okay.
Well, my point has been, like I say, this is something I've been talking to people about, you know, whether they come on or not. I can't control that. I just go after more people. My thing is, and that's why I say, Brother Bill, I think you probably, I don't know, misinterpreted it, because the young people, I mentioned them specifically because of how they network and tell other people, and you can get much more volume quicker. But I don't just mean young people. I mean older people, middle-aged people, all people. I think the biggest thing, because I've heard so many people are listening to this radio broadcast in other countries, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, when you guys open up the mics, it's only a few people speaking, and people may be shy, I don't know. But my whole point was in addressing what you were saying in reference to not wanting to bring the bankers into, you got to listen to the audience. There are many ways to advertise. The advertisement you're talking about, dollar-wise, I'd be happy to assist any way I can with that. Word of mouth is a form of advertisement. So there are many ways, but I don't know, when you say you were confused, that caught me by surprise, because I think everybody's comments were trying to take it in the direction that you're trying to take it, to have the biggest bang when these bankers come on the station or on the broadcast.
I think we're behind you, Brother Bilal, so bring them on, and we're going to do the best that we can to get out there and get the audience that we need, because this is very important. I think this is extremely important for the community to hear from these black bank managers, whomever they're going to be, directors.
Yeah, well, again, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that we can't do everything all at one time. We have to come up with an idea, and we have to see what we can do with that idea, and then move on to the next idea. But there's no way we can come up with so many different ideas all at the same time. But anyway, we're going to leave that alone. We will hopefully, like I said, if we see the importance, and I certainly see the importance of these bankers, because these bankers are already incorporated. If we can get these bankers to open up their banks, and we can get depositors into these banks, these banks now will have to reduplicate themselves. And at this point, each bank would have to reduplicate itself 100 times just to receive the huge deposits that would be coming in, especially if it's coming from our churches. That is a lot of money, brothers and sisters. But then, too, that's a whole bunch of economical growth. So, yes, I will hopefully and look forward to our continuation on having that cash flow, because that's what the banks can give us the opportunities to have. Sister Aisha,
yeah,
we got. Yeah. 6 or 7 more minutes. I'm gonna turn it back to you. And but yes.
But I'm excited, Brother Bilal, that we have the response from the banks. And Sister Swan got this information, made the contact, and I'm certainly excited to go forward with it. And I certainly want to learn, get the information, and see how we can better serve our community, because that's what this radio show is about, is serving and uplifting the African-American community. So on next week, hopefully. Now, do you have a potential schedule? You said you wanted to have, what, about 5 or 6 at a time, or how do you want to handle that?
What it is, I was telling my sister, we're going to have, we can have 5 guests on in the studio. So those 5 guests would be informed by Blog Radio itself. Blog Radio will send them an invitation telling them that they are guests on our Blog Talk Radio. And so the only thing they have to do is just come in and just hit a button, and they're into the studio. They don't have to call in or anything. And we can have up to 5 guests as guests into our studio. And like I was telling my sister, now, any bankers who wish to just be listeners and participate in our show can, but the 5 guests would be the ones who would have priorities and speaking, and also the questions that are asked will be asked through those 5 guests. And the following week, we would continue the same procedure, 5 more guests until we go through the entire national list that she has sent information to, and of course everyone who's responding to her, and she will be sending those that are responding to her directly to us, so we can set them up for the program. I look forward. I want to go ahead and advertise immediately, so by next Wednesday, our advertisement would have gotten out to, and our advertisement runs all the way from a 50-mile radius from D.C. So a 50-mile circular radius from D.C. would take us out on the other side of Baltimore, going north, and as far as south, we'd be pretty close to Richmond, pretty close to Richmond's, Virginia, going south. So that's the circular radius of the advertisement that I am using. So if anyone else have any comments, we got 90 seconds. All right. Well, and then with that said, brothers and sisters, it was always wonderful. Until next week, we will be right back, and we will... We will continue our conversation. So until then.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teeth? brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preachers? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?